Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, and I'm reading from the 5th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse and continuing through verse 17, not 13, but all the way to 17. Listen for the word of our Lord. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Happy Father's Day to each of you who are fathers, to those of you who have fathers. Happy Father's Day. It is a great day, and I enjoy both Mother's Day and Father's Day because they are good times. They're good times to remember, good times to give thanks for great parents or for parents in general, even if yours perhaps might not have been as great as you wanted them to be. Having loving and caring parents who took care of their children is a great thing. And we celebrate it this day, and in these passages that are in the lectionary for this day, I don't know if they knew, or they couldn't have known that today would be Father's Day so long ago when all this happened, but they fit perfectly. Because if you were like me, you remember being a young child with parents. And you had a view of them. A view of them that comes from, they are the ones who take care of me. They're the ones that put food in front of me. They're the ones that tell me what I did wrong right before I got punished for doing something wrong. These parents were different. They were just the people that were around the house that ran the house. And you did what they said. And it was fun sometimes, and sometimes it wasn't. And it's a perfect kind of passage for today. Especially all of these three passages speak to this coming of age type of thing. At least in our understanding of our relationship with God. And I know as I thought about this week, I thought about parents and how at the very beginning in life they were just the ones who made food available to you, who made you clean up your room and clean the bathroom, and they were the ones that a little later taught you how to maintain a lawn, or at least to do it the way they wanted it done. They taught you how it was to take care of stuff, and along the way, you know, you would see them, the ones as they come to your middle school band concerts. I'm sorry that that ever got inflicted on any of you. It's still a painful memory for me and my children of the time that I did that. We knew that our parents went off to school, to work every day. But we just thought that they went to do something to make the money so that we could all eat and do everything. We really did not know as small children exactly what our fathers and mothers did. We might have a title. My father was a pastor. I knew that. I saw him preach every Sunday. Every other day of the week, I had no idea what he went out and had done. And if I'd have remembered that, what he did do, I probably wouldn't be doing this today. So that's a whole different matter. My mother, guidance counselor in a high school, she left every morning. She came home every afternoon. I had no idea what she did all day long. But as you grow as a child, you begin to see and talk to your parents more about things of substance. Perhaps in middle school or in high school, depending on how you were, you start asking questions about what someone does. What do you do at work all day? Or why are you so tired today? It was a long day. What did you do? As a child, growing into your teens, you begin to understand that the title was not just something that you could tell people. It was something that meant you did something particular. You did something into the world. You did something to help the communities, that your parents did something to help the communities that they were in. That your parents were busy and took care of others. We understood, as we grow up, we understood more and more about what parenting was, which we never really thought about until the first time you have a baby. And suddenly, you want to call the parents of your own parents and say, "Hey, remind me about this." I remember that. I'm old, but I hadn't forgotten that yet. But the passages that we read today very much speak to this. It is, especially from Corinthians, of talking about growing up in your faith. And that people will be there to help you grow up in your faith. Yes, Christ is there. God is there. But around you, there are people who will help you grow up in your faith. Not whether that's a particular denomination, but your faith in Jesus Christ and the love of God. And this week, as I thought about this, I thought all of the wonderful times with my parents that they taught me so much, whether I asked or not, or if I asked a question. Of course, my father would wait hours to answer a question, which drove me crazy when I was smaller. But as I got older in life, I really relished that. The best one time I asked something about 4 o'clock one afternoon about whether all the wood and everything was up in the winter, and I was on break from here, and I was at home and over Christmas break, and I wanted to go somewhere the next day. And I said, "Well, if there's anything else you need me to do, I'll stay, but if you don't, I'll do this." The next morning, this was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the next day about 10, my father looked at me and says, "No, I think you can go. We don't have anything for you to do anymore." That was probably the world record for waiting as long as he could to answer a question. He thought through things. He did not speak without thinking of the words that were going to come out of his mouth. He taught me, as did my mother. They taught me how to be a person who cares, a person who cares not just for their own family, but for other families, a person who cared about God and what God really wants from us. These passages today that were read, that Ken read, the passage from Samuel for Samuel is a great one. It is a fantastic one. Whoever put these together really hit a home run with all three of these. Samuel, as you know, started out being a baby that wasn't supposed to happen, and was brought back to grow up in the house of the Lord. And along the way, he grew, became strong, and one night he was called by God. He did not understand it. He went to Eli, who was taking care of him, and said, "I heard you call me." We all know that passage. He goes back and forth several times, trying to learn, and finally Eli, who himself spoke with God, understood how to listen to God, he tells Samuel, next time you hear, guys, this is God calling, when you hear, tell him, here I am, and listen. And he did, and he learned that. So fast forward to the lesson that Ken read this morning about him going to Bethlehem to see the sons of Jesse, to talk and find which one would be the new king. He starts out saying, Lord, if I go there, they'll kill me. Saul will have me killed. And God tells him what to do. Samuel has learned how to listen for God. He was taught that by the one who raised him. He was taught to listen and have faith that God will talk to you and tell me what it is I need to do. And he looks at the very first one and says, oh, this has got to be the king. This is the one God's chosen. This guy's big, strong, good looking. I bet he's got a million women after him. And God says, uh-uh, that's not him. Because you see, God does not look at stature. He looks at a person's heart. A real aha moment for Samuel, we would think. At least a good reminder of what he had probably been learning over the years. But once again, he learns to trust God. And so when he gets through all of the sons that are there, he still says, wait a minute, I know God has this right. So what's up? He asked the question, is this all of them? And I think he was more or less stating, this can't be all of them. Do you have another son? He showed perfect faith in God. He had grown from that child or that young man who heard God's calling in the night, but didn't understand it, to a place where he would follow God even into a dangerous situation and trust, even when what was before his eyes showed him that this was not the way it was. He understood God had it in his hand. That is someone who grew up. Someone parented him and taught him as he needed to. Someone like perhaps your father and mother. Someone who taught you what it means to be one of God's children and to grow. I remember in my life, as I got to be in high school, as I got to be in college in my early years, all of the things that my parents had told me over the years resonated back in my ears about how to be with God, how to be with other people because of how you were with God. You see, Samuel has had that same experience. And you might say that, what is it about the Mark passage that Ken read for us this morning? Seed sprouts, or the smallest seed puts forth the greatest of all shrubs? That doesn't make any sense. For an agrarian society, it makes a lot more sense. And today, though, we have been at least a little caught up in what we can do. We split genes. We actually can take a test tube full of them and come out and make something that's alive. We have all kinds of things. And this idea that God is the only one, we kind of lose this thing when we talk about the grass grows. Well, we know how it grows. We know how it dies too, especially in the summer here around Farmville. Grass dies, the weeds take over. But we can explain all that scientifically, can we not? Sure we can. And I'm reminded of this week as I was thinking about this and thinking about what I have learned from those ahead of me and how that goes forward in my faith for God. I thought about this business of the smallest seed producing the biggest bush, or how the grass seed comes out and becomes full blown. A cartoon I saw years ago, a scientist walks up to God, supposedly in this cartoon, and says, "We don't need you anymore. We have learned how to create life." And God, in the next panel, says, "Oh, please, show me how." The next panel, the scientist reaches down and picks up some dirt and says, "I'll make it out of this." And God said, "Put that down, that's mine. I made it." And it illuminates what's perfect for this. We can tell a lot, but we can't make anything. We have looked at, spliced, put all kinds of things together to find out why things happen, and we can describe it, but we can't make it. That is only for God. Unfortunately, often we think we have learned it all, and we forget the wisdom of what is creation. We forget the glory of it. We forget how wonderfully God has put all this together. It is interesting, as Mark and Samuel, they teach us that we are supposed to be like we were as students, young students, learning, watching our parents how to live life. Paul here to the church in Corinth is telling them you have to grow up in the faith. He writes this letter and he has all these desperately trying to get them to understand what the walk of faith is all about. They should not be walking in their own knowledge, their own skill, their own wits. Rather, they are to have an abiding, confident faith in what God has done, is doing, and will do. Paul gives these different constructs to tell them about where they are, what this is all about. He compares the human weakness, what we think is really good strength for us, is very little to divine glory and power. That the outer stuff that we see and do does not make near as much difference as the inner stuff that God brings us and gives us. He talks about the present and the future. Today, we are away from home, home being with God. But in the future, when you are with God, all things will become totally clear. Now you just have to have faith. And he speaks about transient and eternal. The things that we see are all transient. And Paul is really passionate about this. He understands that this is the key thing that we as Christians today, and the ones definitely back in Corinth, need to understand, that if we walk in faith, if we walk confidently in our faith in God, we will be led to the right places at the right times for the right reasons. This is not us figuring it out. This is like growing up and seeing your parent and saying, "Wait a minute, they do a lot more than just go to work every day and come home and make me wash my clothes and clean my room. They're out living a life in front of other people, showing the love of God in everything that they do. While we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. In our body, when we are all about us, we can't be with God until the day that Jesus returns, or when we meet earthly end. But God loves us. God loves us a great deal. He cares about us and says, walk by faith. Walk by faith. Keep going. Do what you need to do and have faith. And live by faith, not when it suits you, but every day and every part of every day. And you will become a new person. And this leaves this hanging somewhat, this process, because this passage ends and jumps right into the next passage with what happens to us. But what this says to us today is enough for this week, is that if we will but trust in God, have faith, if we will just do that, everything else will work out. And we will treat others the way that Christ has treated us. I give thanks for parents. I give thanks for those who have looked after me as parents, adopted ones, grandparents. I give thanks for the demonstration of faith that I have seen in people that is amazing and still do. And I give thanks that God is still teaching me and you. Amen.